From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Tony Cox in for Farai Chidea. Mitt Romney leaves the presidential race. John McCain tries to make nice with conservative Republicans, while Mike Huckabee picks up an important endorsement. And the battle for delegates and dollars heats up between Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. Joining us today to talk about the latest election news is Ron Walters. He is a professor of political science at the University of Maryland, and Michael Dawson, founding director of the Center for the Study of Race, Politics, and Culture at the University of Chicago. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Good to be
with you.
Thanks
for having us.
As we reported yesterday, Mitt Romney has suspended his presidential campaign. He has not endorsed anyone yet, but he did speak to the Conservative Political Action Committee. We have two clips, but you'll hear them back to back.
Frankly, in this time of war, I simply cannot let my campaign be a part of aiding a surrender to terror. I will continue to stand for conservative principles. I'll fight alongside you for all the things we believe in. And one of the things we believe in is that we cannot allow the next president of the United States to retreat in the face of evil extremism.
Now, reportedly, Ron, John McCain made a phone call to Romney shortly after his announcement. If you had to guess, what do you think was said in that conversation?
Well, I think that it's reported that he wants his support, his endorsement, his delegates. He's got about 300 delegates, and I think what eventually Mitt Romney is going to do is to keep them, because there is just a slim possibility that Mike Huckabee may come on. Mike Huckabee is playing, I think, for time. And because he is not perceived as the authentic conservative in the race, he may be able to pick up some additional delegates. Not saying that he's going to actually close that gap, but 300 delegates is a pretty good stash. And so I think that at some point, Mitt Romney wants to play them. But I'm not sure John McCain was able to talk him out of them.
Michael, James Dobson of Focus on the Family has now endorsed Mike Huckabee in a clear shot across the bow of the McCain campaign, which is an indication that GOP conservatives are still not happy with him. The president just today asking the conservatives to support the eventual party nominee without naming names, although that does look like it's going to be McCain. Bush did not reference McCain specifically. How is this going to shake out in your view, Michael?
It's going to shake out pretty poorly, at least in the short run. When you listen to people who were at the conservative convention yesterday, they're still very unhappy with McCain. Some would say they would even rather see a Clinton presidency than get out and vote and work for their presumptive candidate. I also think it means that Romney's going to hold on to his delegates. Huckabee will work harder in some of the campaigns because they might be wanting to extract something from the presumptive candidate and hold those delegates as hostage.
One of the issues is going to be how they can move toward the convention without further fracturing the Republican base. Here's McCain speaking to the conservatives just a couple of hours after Romney.
Many of you have disagreed strongly with some positions I have taken in recent years. I understand that. I might not agree with it, but I respect it for the principled position it is. And it is my sincere hope that even if you believe I have occasionally erred in my reasoning as a fellow conservative, you will still allow that I have, in many ways important to all of us, maintained the record of a conservative.
What would it take, Ron, for McCain to bridge that gap with the conservatives? Would it take a Hillary Clinton nomination, for example?
Well, that's certainly a possibility because, she, at least for the right-wing conservatives, could mobilize their base. But I just don't think that he has the time or the inclination really to bridge the gap in issue terms. I think that at some point before the convention, the inevitable was set in. And as you can begin to see now, as Michael was right, many of the conservative heads of organizations are beginning now to tack toward him. And I would expect that process will continue because they won't have a choice.
I suppose that is the next question, whether or not the Republican nominee, be it McCain or Huckabee or whomever, can they win? Can that party win, Michael, without the support of the right wing of the party?
No, they cannot win without their base energized, active, and voting enthusiastically in November. It's going to be, the last few elections have been very much based on turnout. And if they can't mobilize their key base, they're in real trouble.
Well, when do they sit down to try to work this out? And the other question is, at what point do you need to have your nominee in place to so that you can begin focusing your efforts not on each other, but on the other party's candidate?
Well, I think they would really...
Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think they would really like to get this settled as soon as possible, but I believe Ron was about to say, at least by the convention, they really they have to have it settled.
Well, Ron, to you, final thing about the Republicans, and then we'll start talking about the Democrats. The Republicans are holding a caucus tomorrow in Kansas, a primary in Louisiana. How significant are either of those?
I think very significant because it might begin to build a base for a post-Super Tuesday momentum for Barack Obama. He looks good in both places. The governor of Kansas has come out for him. Strong black population in Louisiana. And so it looks as though the expectations are that he will begin to win those.
Well, that was partly my question because I was going to get into the Democrats more specifically because they're holding caucuses in Nebraska and Washington State and a primary in Louisiana on Saturday, which you've already made some reference to. But let me come to you, Michael, in terms of the significance of the weekend for both Obama and Clinton to do well in those contests, especially with regard to picking up delegates.
Well, that's the key. I think what Obama really needs is to start... He needs a good rush into March 4th, because March 4th is where the Clinton campaign thinks they have their firewall, so to speak. They have they're looking towards, again, big states like Ohio and Texas to put them back on the map. But he needs to be very strong on the 9th. He needs to be strong on the 12th. And on the 19th, if he can pick up some more of the caucuses, if he can sweep the Potomac primaries, then he'll have built up the momentum, be able to raise the money that then push him through in some of the big states that he's had some problems with.
Along that same line, Ron, since Super Tuesday alone, both Democratic contenders are saying that they have raised enormous amounts of money, mostly through online support. Now, the Clinton camp reports raising about $7.5 million in the last week, $6.5 million of that in the last day and a half. But she also had to lend her campaign $5 million from her own purse. Now, on the other side, Barack Obama reported just over $7 million raised since last Tuesday, none of it from his own pocket. How important is the cost of a prolonged campaign for either or both of them?
Well, it's extremely important because I think that what happened was that the Clinton campaign sort of bet the farm on Super Tuesday. Going into January, they were about at 18.5 apiece. And they were geared actually to spend most of that in many of these states in order to come out with a stronger delegate count. The Obama people raised an enormous amount of money in January, $32 million, $1 million a day. And that gave them the capacity not only to compete Super Tuesday, but also afterward. And so I think that she's got to win. Michael was right, coming into March 4th as the firewall. The scuttlebutt is that if she doesn't do well on March 4th, there will be the drumbeat for her to get out. So she's got to spend that money that she's now raising very wisely enough to win some very important races on March the 4th.
Let me follow that point up with you with this. The superdelegates are already an issue, as we've said, because if there is a brokered convention, their votes could be key to who gets the nomination. In fact, White House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has defended the superdelegate system, but at the same time, one of those 800 or so superdelegates, strategist Donna Brazile, has said, and this is a quote, "If 795 of my colleagues decide this election, I will quit the Democratic Party. I feel very strongly about this," end quote. This is a big issue, isn't it?
It's a big issue, and it really came up during the Jackson administration. I testified before the Rules Committee to have a one-person, one-vote. They put in the 15% threshold to get delegates, and they created the superdelegates. What they wanted to do was to go back to the smoke-filled room because the party leaders, the party bosses, felt that they didn't have a role in selecting the nominee anymore. So what Donna's saying, in effect, is that if the smoke-filled room is created, and particularly if it goes against Barack Obama, he may be in second place then, it will mean it would look very bad. And this is very important because you could alienate the base of the Democratic Party going into the fall election and cost them tremendous stakes like the expansion of the party in the Senate and the House and maybe even the White House.
This is my last question. We have less than a minute. It's coming to you, Michael. I need you to give me as concise an answer as you can. What about voter fatigue? After months of political contests and media attention, will it be harder to get voters out to the polls in places like Pennsylvania in April and Indiana in May?
If the race is still close, people are going to come out. People are still energized. People are still extraordinarily interested in a very unique campaign.
So you think that that won't have much of an impact one way or the
other? Unless the race is already decided, I don't think it'll have much of an impact at all.
You share that view, Ron Walters?
Yes, I do.
All right, Michael, Ron, I want to thank both of you for coming on with us. We appreciate it. Ron Walters is a professor of political science at the University of Maryland. He spoke with us from our NPR headquarters in Washington, D.C. Michael Dawson is a professor of political science at the University of Chicago. He spoke with us from the studios at the University of Chicago. Just ahead on our reporters' roundtable, another guilty plea in the Megan Williams case in West Virginia. She's the black woman who was held captive and tortured for days last summer by a group of whites. And our month-long series on black images in film continues. We zoom in on the serious art of black comic movies.